At camp, one of the things we really spoke of, and not what he called it, but we spoke of our purpose. You know, each one of us need to have purpose in life. And when we don't have purpose, we often get involved in things that we're trying to feel fulfilled with. When we don't feel fulfilled, when we don't feel like we have a purpose to our life, we can start feeling frustrated, depressed, aimless. We get involved in things that take us further from our God-given purpose, brings deeper sadness into our life, make us pursue things that cause more problems and more emptiness, and it was just a vicious cycle. But God gave us our purpose. We're going to get to Colossians 1 in just a little bit. God gave us our purpose that day He created man back in Genesis. And I've spoken this verse so much, but it's so important for us to understand who we are. In Genesis chapter 1, when He created man, He said in Genesis 1:27, He said this, and so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You know, as we look at this, it's very clear when God created man, He created us in His image to reflect Him, to carry His person and His character everywhere we go. See, our lives are to reflect God Himself, to make Him known, to declare who He is. We were created to represent Him. You with me? We're to represent His righteousness, His holiness, His purity, His goodness, and His love. That as believers, the deeper we get to know Him, the more that we start to reflect and make Him known, the more of His image we start to carry. And if we do not do this, we fail to fulfill our purpose. And nothing else will bring complete fulfillment. It's always about making Him known. At camp, we spoke about our purpose. Our purpose is actually all over Scripture, and we usually call it the Great Commission. That we're to go and make God known, to proclaim His Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the theme for camp, as you can see, is proclaim. And then we're to proclaim that God sent Jesus to save us from our sins. Paul speaking to his church in Colossae, here in Colossians chapter 1. After speaking at a depth in the person of Jesus Christ, look what he says in verse 28. Verse 28, he says, whom we preach. Some of your versions will say, whom we proclaim. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. See, Jesus is our purpose. Jesus is our purpose. We are to preach and proclaim Jesus. Jesus, the one that brings salvation. That's who you're supposed to preach. Jesus, the one who brings reconciliation with the Holy God. That's who we get to proclaim. Jesus, the one that promises His glory to all who believe. That's who we're supposed to reflect. Jesus, the one who gives fulfillment in His purpose. That's who we live for. So last week we saw how we start to proclaim Him. And we saw that we will not proclaim Christ unless we recognize the work of Christ. If we can look around and see how He has transformed lives right here within us. It's neat to look around and hear testimonies of when some of you have accepted Christ. Not you said some little prayer, not that you went to church, but when you came to a knowledge that you were a sinner deserving of eternal damnation, deserving of hell, separated from a holy God, but God wants to intervene. And so He sent Jesus Christ, the holy sacrificial lamb, whose blood offers salvation to you. And at some point you come to a realization that you needed Jesus Christ as your Savior, and all He demands from you is faith. and you called upon him for salvation. Those are neat stories to hear. How you come to know him. Why you did it. It's what we live for. And until we recognize that we're not the only ones that God has saved, and we look around and start seeing that God is at work, and there's many lives in here that are being transformed right now, we won't look to reach others. But last week, we leading up to this verse, in 28 here, we saw that Paul thanked God for the believers in that church. He thanked God for their faith, their hope, their fruit, their hearing, their learning, their serving, their loving fruit, spirit. And we took time to recognize some of those here at church. That we have people right here in this church that minister, that love, that hope, that care. And it's neat to see how God has transformed lives here. Let me tell you this, God wants to transform your life. That's why he sent Jesus Christ. That's why he made sure you heard the gospel. Because he wants to transform your life and give you the right to enter his glory, to be his family. That's why Paul was so bold in proclaiming Jesus. Paul, with his filthy, putrid life of hating believers, arresting those that claimed Jesus, come to know Jesus Christ, his life was completely transformed to where he started preaching Christ even when he was being tortured. And as we talked about in Sunday school, even when his ship was sinking and everybody thought they were dying, he was preaching Jesus. Today we see what Paul did. Before you proclaim the name of Jesus, not only do you need to recognize the work of Christ, but you need to be in prayer. Be in prayer for other believers. After Paul recognized God's work in his church of Colossae, in Colossians chapter 1, let's read a handful of verses. Go back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto the all-pleasing, being faithful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for allowing us to open your word. I ask that your word would touch hearts here. Allow us to grow a little closer to you, have a little more faith in you. And if there's someone ever in here that's never called upon your name, that's never been born again by faith in you, that this could be the day of salvation. But I ask you, give me the words to say, the calmness to do it. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. First, as we look at this portion of Scripture, I see pray for one another. Sounds so simple. And yet it's so neglected. It usually becomes that last ditch effort. Well, nothing else worked. God, I better call out to you. It's easy to neglect it. But prayer is not optional in your life. If you're a believer, if you've called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, and you're now in his family, prayer isn't optional. When we walk through Scripture, we see the Old Testament, the Old Testament prophets. They prayed. They called out to God. We see the Israelites called out to God. We see Jesus teach how to pray. You and I are called to pray. We see it exemplified in the life of Jesus. See, prayer is not optional. We have simple verses like in 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It's a long, hard verse to memorize. Who knows it? Pray without... See, you knew it. You can say you memorized the verse today. God calls you to pray. To trust Him. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. You see, prayer isn't an option, is it? 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. See, the command to pray cannot be questioned. Cannot be questioned. We are called to pray. Can I personalize this a little bit? Can I personalize it? If you say no, don't personalize it. Well, too bad. If you say yeah, personalize it, don't get mad. You see, there's a call to each of y'all. When we personalize it, it might touch you. Well, let me ask you, did you pray for me today? Thank you. But seriously, let's search our own hearts. Let me ask you, did you pray for me? You knew you were going to come in here and hear me speak today, that I was supposed to deliver God's word, what He has given to me. Did you lift me up in prayer? And I'm not doing that to guilt you, but maybe challenge you. Did you pray for God to fill His house today, to bring His people together to celebrate, to worship? Not guilt. Just a reminder. Next Saturday. Start tomorrow. Hey, Lord, we're going to meet on Wednesday. Please fill the house. Sunday, bring your people back together. I know it's summertime and everybody scatters. But don't let us be lazy. Did you pray for those attending today? Did you come in today as a praise starts and you start looking around and say, Lord, bless his heart? And I don't mean that in a sarcastic way. Bless his heart. I'm about to say something bad. But I mean, honestly, bless them. Let me be a blessing to them. Did you give thanks that they're here? Did you pray for your family before bringing them to church? You know, before you got in the car and said, shut up back there and you act right at church. Yeah? You did it today, didn't you? But did you stop and say, Lord, help me be the dad I need to be so that I can guide my kids to be the person you want them to be? Sometimes a fight on Sunday morning is because we didn't take time throughout the week praying. Just a thought. We neglect prayer so much. Before coming today, did you pray for your own heart? Lord, I'm about to throw up worship to you. I'm about to sing praise. Let it be with my heart, not just my mouth. Lord, this week, I know I've been involved in stuff that does not bring you honor. Forgive me and give me strength to walk right next week. I promise you, if you'll take time to pray before church on Sunday, before you come in, maybe even Wednesday nights, service will mean so much more to you. You take time and pray, God, soften my heart. Preach to me today. Open my eyes as I hear the words of the praise songs. Let me see how you're at work in lives. Use me today to encourage someone else, not to just be selfish at church and want to be ministered to. Yeah, service will change for you completely, I promise you. It starts with humbling ourselves in prayer. He'll start softening your heart. You're going to receive more. He's going to open your eyes how you can serve and how you can give and how you can love. You're going to hear stuff in a sermon that other days you would never have heard. Why? Because I started my intimacy with just God. Now I'm going to let God's people minister too. Prayer, it starts with prayer. Prayer is vital in a believer's life. Look at Paul's comment to them in verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. When I hear of this in church. And I hear someone say, I love you. I hear someone say, I'm praying for you. That should encourage me. Not only did you take time to think about me, but you're bringing me to the throne of God, the throne of grace. That's important. When I walk through here, and there's some that will automatically come to mind that serve and love others, like the first group that Paul was talking to, the first topic he was talking to him on. Some come to mind, and I can pray easily for them and understand this. I hear the accusations. Pastor has his favorites. No. I have those that are more involved. I have those that will invest more. I have those that will open their lives to me. I have those that are more involved than just Sunday morning and run out the door. So it's easier to know specifics and pray and minister to them. But I pray for you. That's why I walk through here. I can picture where you sit. It's not about favorites. It's about involvement often. It's that intimacy. See, we should constantly be praying for one another, lifting each other up, just as Paul says, listen, I don't cease to pray for you. Can you say that? Let me challenge you this week. Come back next week with the attitude, no, we're not going to brag to each other about how much we're praying. Defeats the purpose of prayer according to Matthew chapter 5. But with the attitude that I could say, I've been praying for you this week. You know what happens? When I start praying for you, it changes my attitude about you. If you got someone in here that you can't stand, that you want to stay away from, they annoy you, let me promise you, listen, we all got that person. The more you pray for them, the more you will start to love them. The more you will start to care about them. The more God will change your heart to see the value in them. But Paul lets them know he's praying for them. He isn't praying the way we think of praying, though. We pray when there's a tragedy, don't we? We get a prayer list and they need something. There's a sick person. They need a job. Those things are important. We should pray for each other on those things. But look what Paul is praying for. He's not praying for those things. There's a second thing I see here. Pray for filling. 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 It's not a matter of eating too much, by the way. Not about going to the buffet like we did on the way home from camp and getting full on chicken wings. Those are good. Okay. But look at verse 9, the second half of it. That ye might be filled. Here's what Paul's praying for them. Not that you do good and get rich, but that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Paul's prayer is that they be filled by God. To be filled means to be controlled by, when we see it in Scripture, be filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you're going to get a little more. The Scripture says when you are saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. He's locked in. He's that stamp that God marked you with. You don't get more of him. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means you let him control you more. You let him guide you more. You let him speak to you more. That's to be filled. What's he praying? That you be filled with God's will. Paul's specific that he's praying for them to be filled with knowledge. I pray that you know God's will, that you know it deeply. Now, here's something that can get misworded all at times. I'm trying to speak English, too. God has the same will for each one of us. Each one of us have the same will of God, but we have different plans. He has a different plan for your life than he does mine, but he has the same will for us. My plan, I never knew I was going to be a pastor. That I was going to move to some town called Humiston. That's his plan. Plan for Leonard, he's going to be a trucker. Plan for Claudia, she's going to be a teacher for like, what was it, 250 years? Yeah. Same with Miss Cheryl. Yeah? We've got different plans. But the will is the same. The will is that you would walk with him and make him known, that you would reflect him by being his image. That's his, your will. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed in a renewing of your mind. His will is that you would walk with him and reflect him. That's your will. Each one of us have the same will. But we have different plans. He's got different plans for your life. And God, and Paul wants them to know God's will. How does God want to use you to be known? And he goes on that they would practice wisdom. So first be filled with knowledge, but understand, you can be filled with knowledge and be worthless, yeah? There's a lot of people that got a lot of stuff up here, but they stupid. And I mean that in the nicest way, bless their heart. I used it appropriately there, right? Okay? He says, I want you to be filled with knowledge, but that knowledge only matters when it turns to wisdom. That's the application of knowledge. Paul says, I want you to be filled so that you can be used. And how are you going to be used? That you would be guided by, what does he say there? Spiritual understanding. I will make my decisions based on the guidance of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit never contradicts God's word. The Spirit has spoken to me. Really? Well, quote me a verse. Because the Spirit always speaks to us through the Word of God. The Word of God was written by the Holy Spirit. He inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's not written by men of old, but as the Spirit came to man. So no, the Spirit of God is not going to guide you. Now, the Scripture does tell us to test the spirits. The Holy Spirit isn't the only spirit out there. There's demonic spirits in darkness that would love to guide you and tell you that they're an angel of light. Sounds like Scripture, doesn't it? That told us that Satan is an angel of light. We must be praying for one another, not just for the prayer list, but do you look around here and say, Lord, let them be filled with knowledge of your will so that you can use it and they can practice wisdom as they're guided by spiritual understanding. Can we pray for one another this way? That goes beyond, hey, give them a new job and a new car. It's much greater. But Paul goes on, what happens when you are controlled by God's will? It's going to change your walk. The third thing we see is pray for the walk. Sounds simple. Pray for the walk. I didn't know how to word it any cooler. So pray for the walk. See, when we become parents, remember that? Hopefully when we become parents, we start to act differently. We have different responsibilities. Now, some choose not to. They need to be slapped upside the head in love. In love, amen? I think Dave rubbed off on me, guys. He always talking about punching somebody, and he got taken down. No, I'm just, back to the word. As you become parents, you walk and you act differently because you have a greater responsibility now. You're an example to somebody. Well, when we become children of God, he says we become royal priesthood. We become royal family of God. And we carry his name. We represent God. We have the Holy Spirit. Our walk, our life should start to change. Man, it's quiet in here. No amens on that. Let's practice again. And we should change. Yeah, you hypocrite. No, I'm just kidding. When you find out, you realize that you're a child of a holy God, your life should not be what it was before. Why? Because he rescued you from darkness. He took you out of death and gave you life. Look at verse 10. That ye might walk, what's that word? Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in your knowledge of God. You see how this goes beyond knowledge? It's wisdom because we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. Our actions change, our words change, our attitudes change, and we want to walk worthy of the Lord. It means to walk in a manner that fulfills the purpose he's given to us. Salvation, we've got to understand what happens. You know what happens at salvation? When we call on Jesus to save us, we become children of God. Listen to this verse. Here's a good verse to memorize. You want to memorize a verse? This one everybody should memorize, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. At salvation, I was purchased with his holy blood. I'm no longer my own person. He owns me. My will is now dead. His will becomes my passion. His will becomes my purpose. So the more I know him, the more I submit to him, the more worthy my life is. That's salvation. You ain't your own no more. Notice, if this is our life, Paul says in verse 10 that what we're doing is pleasing to God. It honors him. And it goes on to say what our life will produce fruit. This is what God provides through our life because of our obedience. I had a lady in one of our churches, well advanced in years. I don't know how to say it nicely. And I think she was in her 90s at the time. And she said, you know what the greatest fruit is? Another believer. When you can live a life worthy of the Lord and he can use you, that someone else can see their need of Christ and come to be saved, the best fruit you can have is another believer. Getting to lead someone to Christ or know someone got saved because of your life. You see, let's pray for one another that our lives would be pleasing to God, that our walk would reflect his character and holiness. Pray for one another that we desire to walk worthy. But Paul knew that these believers would struggle, they'd be tempted, they'd be persecuted, they would have needs, they would get sick. So what do we pray for now? Pray that God intervene and keep them from those things? Pray that no one gets sick? Pray that they stay rich? No, look what Paul prays for. He prays for them for strength. Oh, you and I should pray for each other, pray for strength. Understand, struggles do not mean God is absent. Struggles means that God has given us a chance to watch him work in our lives. God has given us a chance to grow in our faith because the book of James says that those struggles teach us. Teach us patience. That's endurance. The weird thing is Paul does not pray that they would all keep from suffering as we want to pray, Lord, keep them from that. It's the easy thing to do. You know, Paul does not pray for them to be rich, healthy, and happy. Look at verse 11. Here's his prayer continued. Check 11 out. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness. Paul prayed for strength, the power from God, so they can battle through the problems. Paul was praying that they would remain faithful. He wasn't saying avoid problems. Understand this. You cannot reflect Jesus without suffering in your life because his whole ministry was suffering. Want to reflect Christ, there's going to be suffering in your life. Paul's prayer was, Lord, you're going to let them suffer. Give them strength, please. Well, first I prayed for him to have knowledge. Prayed for him to wisdom. Now give him the strength to apply it. Strength to be faithful and continue to walk through it. Paul prayed for patience and long-suffering. Both of those words are related. It means to remain calm and keep moving forward. You ever notice one of those person when everything else gets crazy and chaotic and that person is just kind of all good. That must be Walter. She's over there patting him. Because, you know, she pats with a closed fist against the cheek all the time. And understand that. That Paul wants them to be able to walk with Christ in faith, knowing, hey, no problem. In Sunday school, hey, you'd know if you were here. No. By the way, pretty soon we're going to start the book of Genesis, and you don't want to miss that in Sunday school. Hey, what? If you catch on to Genesis, the whole rest of the Bible makes a whole lot more sense. So start coming to Sunday school and catching as we walk verse by verse through Genesis, And you're going to catch stuff in Genesis you never caught before, I promise. But anyway, where was I? You see, I lost what I was going to share. But Paul wants them in trouble to be strengthened to walk with peace. Oh, Sunday school. We're talking about Paul being shipwrecked. Okay, the storms are coming against his ship. 276 people in his boat. The boat is falling apart. They're actually wrapping ropes around trying to hold this boat together. They're throwing cargo overboard. They're throwing the equipment from the boat overboard. And you know what Paul says? Calm down, guys. Be at peace. All's well. God told me it's going to go good. That's calm. That's patient. That's in long-suffering. That's saying, hey, my God's greater than this storm. Is God greater than the storm in your life? Can you say, hey, in the middle of it, calm down. In doing this, Paul wants them, he says here, to have joyfulness. He wants them to have joy. Joy will come when we fulfill God's purpose, because joy comes from the Lord, the Scripture tells us. So let us pray for one another. If we want them to be happy, don't pray that they never see trouble. Pray that they're strong and patient and long-suffering and that they can endure faithfully so they can experience the joy of the Lord even in troubled times. The greatest joy comes when we see God work in our lives in times that we don't think He is. And Paul prays for one more thing, last thing. Last thing, pray for gratitude. Gratitude will keep our focus in the right place. See, gratitude is a recognition that I don't deserve what you've done for me. Isn't it? Thank you. That says, hey, you didn't have to. It humbles myself to recognize what you have done for me. And Paul says they need to be thankful. Through Scripture, we're supposed to have a thankful heart. You know that? Psalms 136:1, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good and His mercy endureth forever. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:17, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now we could go on a list forever. We are commanded to have a grateful heart. Thanksgiving should permeate our lives. Thanksgiving should permeate our prayers. We should give more thanks. You with me? More thanks in our prayers than we do requests. There is so much more to be thankful for than there is to ask for. But sometimes we allow the scary time to overshadow all that God's provided. Ever had a prayer that did nothing but say, thank you, God? There's so much to thank God for. If we could stop and just thank God. Listen to what Paul is saying. Look at verse 12. Here's what they're to give thanks for. Think about this. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us to the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. There is so much that we can give thanks to God for. He says here, thank you, God, who through Jesus authorized me to be a part of His inheritance. Now check this out. God sent Jesus Christ, so me, He calls an enemy before salvation, me who was in my trespasses and sins, me who violated His holiness, now, because of my faith in Jesus Christ, let me rephrase that, because of His grace through my faith, I am a part of His inheritance. Wow, does that seem fair? No, it doesn't, and I accept. Thank you, God. He continues here, thank you, God, that you put on flesh and came to suffer, rescuing me from those sins, rescuing me from your wrath, rescuing me from hell. And instead, you placed me in the kingdom of Christ. the kingdom of God, of His glory, of His life. He continues, thank you, God, for taking on the punishment, the torture, the death that I deserve. Thank you for shedding your blood, for offering your salvation to me. Are we grateful? Are we grateful? Do we have prayers of being grateful? Prayers of thanksgiving? Let's have prayers of thanksgiving. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray that each other would grow, that we'd be filled. Let's pray that each of us develop a grateful heart, that we have the strength through troubles, that we walk a life that's worthy of His name, and that we'll be filled with God's will and let that move us in wisdom. And as we pray for the work of God in us, let's remember to always search in our own lives. Let God work in us and being a blessing to those around us. Would you stand with me? We're just going to have a short time of invitation today. An opportunity, as we've been called to pray, that you can look around this room. You know, some people are hurting in this room. Some people are going through struggles. And we can pray for that. Do you know what each one of us in this room needs? To be filled. We need a grateful heart. We need wisdom. We need spiritual understanding. We need more knowledge of God's will. Will you pray for those around you for that? Pray for how God's going to use you to encourage someone in here today. And this is a time of invitation. Will you humble yourself? Maybe at the altar. Maybe at your seat. Maybe with somebody you're with. Will you humble yourself? Pray with your spouse. Your kids. Well, let's start a life pattern of prayer, of consistent prayer. Scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. That everything I do is by prayer and supplication. And let us just pray. Because you know what? If we're not praying, we're not going to be proclaiming. Starts with prayer, especially recognizing His word, so that we can declare Jesus is. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your presence here right now. As You put Your hand on each one of us, Lord, I ask that You bring to mind just so much that we can be grateful for, but also bring to mind those that are around us, that we can just lift up to You, that as we leave this house today, that we would continue to pray for one another, that our desire would go further than just material goods and health, but that each one of us could fulfill Your purpose in carrying Your image and making You known. Lord, I ask that You touch each one of our hearts, that we'd humble ourselves before You now. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Take time to pray now. Maybe you want to step out of your seat, come to the altar. You're in this room and you never had a time, the scripture tells us, you were born again. A time that you recognize your sinfulness. And that God has told us the wages of sin is death and separation from God for all eternity. But because of His love for you, He sent the Savior. Maybe you've never had a time that you called on the name of Jesus for salvation, that you have faith in His work and His person. I'd love to show you God's word, how you can be saved. Up here now. Myself, my wife, there's others in the church would love to show you in God's word how you can be saved so that He can start His transformation in your life. There's nothing you need to do other than trust Him. Call on Him. Will you do it? And if you're a child of God, will you have the heart of God as it tells us in Philippians? He prayed for you and I. He prayed for each follower. That we would be strong. That we'd be faithful. Will you pray for me? Pray for Thank you for coming today.